Captain America throws his mighty shield. All those who chose to oppose his shield must yield. Then he's led to a fight and a duel is due. Then the red and the white and the blue will come through when Captain America throws his mighty shield.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Albie. This is the Marvel Movie Showdown Podcast. Joining me, my co-host, Popcans, Sean. What's up, my dude?
Hey, hi.
Welcome, Sean. How you doing today?
You know me.
Are you feeling patriotic today?
I mean, not today, not really ever.
Okay.
You know me.
I know you.
I'm not. I wasn't genetically mutated to be a super soldier or anything, so.
Well, that's, you know, we're not, everybody has flaws. Not being a super soldier is one of them. So I think we're here today to talk about Captain America, I believe. Captain America, I believe is his name. The man with the shield.
Rogers.
Captain say. Rogers. So yeah, we're here to talk about that movie.
Is that his actual rank?
Captain? That's kind of hard to say, because he was like in... So they clarify...
He kind of just barged his way into the active service.
Yeah, I mean, he was like an honorary captain because he got put into that special battalion, and then he kind of became like Captain America for the publicity thing. So I guess he's technically a captain, but he's not like properly propaganda. A captain.
Propaganda.
Yeah, propaganda. I mean, he was the propaganda guy. Like, he was the captain of propaganda or something like that, Brian.
Give us our money for bonds so we can kill the Nazis.
Kill the Nazis? Punch Adolf Hitler with me. Give me this money so we can punch Adolf Hitler together. I'd pay money for that. If somebody was like, hey, give me $5 so you can punch Adolf Hitler in the face, I'd be like, sure. Sure, man. You know? I think that'd be a little cruel, but I'd do it.
Would you?
I probably would. What do we do? Do we do, like, just a brief summary? I think that's what we do.
You say the synopsis of the movie.
Okay, so basically, the synopsis of Captain America is Steve Rogers, sickly boy-looking man, really not... Like, I think they do a really good job of making him look not great, just to mention that here, because, man. Listen, also, when I search Captain America, it comes up with Captain Phillips, and that's weird. Here's the IMDb synopsis of Captain America the First Avenger. Please run that. Steve Rogers, a rejected military soldier, transforms into Captain America after taking a dose of super soldier serum. But being Captain America comes at a high price as he attempts to take down a warmonger and a terrorist organization in the form of Hydra and the Red Skull.
Are they really a terrorist organization?
Terrorist organization is a weird thing to say there. It's more like a governmental World War II organization. Like, it's not...
I mean, they kind of take over the Nazi regime.
Yeah, they kind of subvert the Nazi regime.
They're still at war. And so, like, as far as I know, they're not... They were trying to bomb civilians near the end, but they never really did it.
Yeah, and their goal wasn't really to make terror, it was to take over the world. Like, I feel like, you know, the goal of an Al-Qaeda or something like that is to inspire terror, to, like, subvert the American ideas so they can continue to recruit and continue to fight the American oppressors or whatever. But Hydra is more about, like, let's fucking destroy the world, man. Let's take over. Let's Aryan race something. You know, best or better man. I don't know why, that's weird. Also, warmonger is a weird term when it's World War II, and that's like, is that really warmongering? It seems, I don't know.
But they had lasers.
They did have lasers! So the interesting thing whenever I watch this movie, and we'll get to, like, the talk about, you know, the scenes and stuff in a minute, but the interesting thing about this movie is I always look at it and I go... And I do this for a lot of fiction, which is kind of focused around this alternative past stuff. Like, where did the Marvel Universe diverge from our universe, right? Like, what moment made it go towards that rather than towards where we're at? it's just like a thought experiment for me. And I feel like it's Howard Stark. I feel like that's where everything started to break apart. Because he was, like, so smart, and he made all these things, and that, like, subverted it outward into, like, this crazy super future of superheroes. I don't know. That's just like, always a thought experiment I do of, like, where's the moment where things go crazy?
I mean, Thor actually exists in the Marvel Universe world, so forever.
That's true.
So when it's been different.
And, I mean, assuming Thanos and stuff and all these, you know, there's obviously differences, but I just usually think of it, like, historically, where does it diverge? And I guess, I don't know, probably around World War II, right? Gotta be.
On Earth, is what you're trying to say?
Yeah, on Earth, primarily, not, you know.
I mean, sure.
Because, I mean, we have a mythology of a Thor, right? So, like, it's not that different? Maybe it's...
The difference is Thor exists in the Marvel Universe, and he doesn't in our universe.
That's true. Maybe that's the change, is that Thor actually was real? I don't know. Or he came to Earth at some point?
And Doctor Strange and Thanos and all the other weird aliens.
Or maybe it was when they put the cosmic cube here or whatever. They put the thing that the Nazi man found. Maybe that's the actual divergent point, is they put the cosmic cube here rather than somewhere else in the universe, and that caused the divergence, because then it was like power being slowly infused into the population or something like that. Anyway, I don't know. I've always thought that was an interesting thing to think about in terms of, like, I don't know, the Marvel universe, the DC universe, like, where was the moment where things went crazy? It's cool. I don't know. So what did you... I guess we'll start with, like, what overall did you think? Positive, negative?
That's at the end. Okay.
I guess we'll go to scenes now. Like, I don't know. What do you wanna do? Like a...
Yes.
So the movie opens with... like, I think the first hour of this movie is so fucking strong, it's unbelievable. Like, I think it's just as strong as Iron Man in terms of opening. You know, you really get a lot of time to build Captain Rogers. Like, you know, you got the scenes where he's, like, he's really trying to get drafted. And from a historical perspective, I always found that, like, oh, yeah, because everybody was trying to get drafted or go into the military at this time. It was seen as, like, a patriotic service thing. And he's getting, turned down stuff.
And you would be marked if you did it. Like, you'd be ashamed.
And your family would be ashamed, even though most of his family's gone. It's like this thing. It's like this fucking, you gotta serve.
Couldn't get any women.
Yep. The women aren't interested in you because you're not a service member.
Wasn't there anyone, like, women would, like, publicly humiliate men into not who didn't enlist, so then that would make them enlist?
I think there were certain ones that would. I mean, I'm not saying, like, it would be like, oh, you're walking down the street, but there was certainly, like, a sense of that, particularly among, like, older women or women who had, who were really into, like, I don't know, like, southern, you know, like, the southern, I don't know, more southern states. There was probably, like, a very much, like, a, the older women, if you're not in the military, then, like, the older southern ladies of the area would probably not be very kind to you.
Okay, move on.
It's, I don't know, it's just like, it was so fascinating to see that, and they spend so much time building, like, you know, building him trying to get into the military and building his relationship with Bucky. And I think that's like, it's a slow start, it's like a slow burn, but it's so good at just making you care about him and understand where his viewpoint is. Do you have like an early scene that you thought was really good? Do you have like a...
Let's see, let me scrub through this movie file I have of the movie.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah, there's not a lot of memorable moments. Like, no, nothing, like, there's no, like, big, like, no capture scene, like, in Iron Man 1 or anything. It's just, like, but it does, like, you're right, the first half is, like, it does a great job of explaining who the character is, and, like, explaining his relationship and, like, explaining why he's the one who got chosen over the people who are more gifted athletically.
And I think it does a good job of setting the world. It's something that I think Marvel movies got better at, But like I felt like I was like they did a really good job of, you know, scene dressing and stuff like that, where you believe that, oh yeah, that's New York, 1940s, 1930s, you know, like it looked like it looked, it felt very New York at that time period during the war, you know, the good posters on the wall that are all probably, you know, factually evident and stuff. They do a really good job of that stuff, like making you believe it in a way that, I don't know, like I don't think up till that point people would have thought, like, oh, a Marvel movie is being historically accurate. But there was a lot of like nice touches there on that, like in both in terms of like clothing, and in terms of just like, I don't know, cool stuff around that kind of scene dressing thing. I think the best moment for me, if I may interject, if I may take a step for you, is when he meets the scientist, Dr. Abraham Erskine. Dr. Abraham Erskine is like, so he's at the World's Fair, which I always thought was like a really neat moment because, you know, you're coming off of Iron Man 2 and then you get to see, you know, that World's Fair, that big globe in Iron Man 2 and like, you know, the Stark exhibit. Like, I thought that was always really interesting from a perspective of like, oh, there it is. There's the thing you're just watching in Iron Man 2. There's the World's Fair. There's the big thing. But like in its heyday, before, I don't know, the decline and stuff like that. I think that's good world building, man. But then he's like out with Bucky and the girls don't pay attention to him. And he's like, kind of like, he's feeling pretty down on his luck. Like he doesn't really care about a lot of things because he really wants to be out there and serve. And then he meets the science man. And God, that's a good scene of like, you know, him going in and kind of faking his records. And then the doctor coming in and talking to him about like, hey man, why do you want to fight? Why do you want to fight the Nazis? We got a lot of big guys out there already fighting the Nazis. Why do you want to go out there and fight the Nazis? What's it's like, I don't like bullies from wherever they're from. And that's, God, they do such a good job of making you like, okay, so yeah, Steve Rogers is like a good dude. He's like, he's got a good heart. He comes from a good place of commitment and sacrifice. Also, I love his scenes. I love the doctor's scenes. Like, every scene he's in is great. Yeah.
Yeah. I would say, I don't know, I wasn't a big fan of his death scene, I guess. Like, there's two big death scenes, and I was not a big fan of either of them. Like, for the doctor, it's like, it wasn't that, like, sudden. But they didn't do a good job explaining, like, I don't know, like, why he wanted Hydra when him dead, and also then it really explained very well, like, because of he dying, why couldn't they still make more super soldiers?
Yeah, they could have done a better job of that. Like, why was it not written down by someone or someone else knew? Like, it seemed sort of weird. You know, that's from the comics, but I feel like they could have done a better job. I agree.
But yeah, once they do the training. Like, how'd you like the training montage, I guess, at the camp?
It was, you know, at first you're like, oh, this is a funny training montage. But then, like, it's just good pathos stuff, right? Like, just good stuff where it's like, he pulls the fucking flagpole down. Like, that's just funny. Like, it's nothing, like, new or super original, but it just feels like, oh, okay, that, like, sets things up interestingly. I think the grenade scene is really good. As like a, that's, you know, he's a different kind of person. Like, he's not typical. I don't know. It's cool in that way. Like, it does a good job of, you know, taking something you probably would usually see in like a military movie like this, but then, you know, making it, telling a story through it. It's not like it's new or original stuff. It's just telling a story interestingly.
I mean, they do. I think the good moment out of the arc of the movie is the him landing on the grenade that he thinks is alive. Good character building moment right there.
And I think it's, I mean, it's, if you wanted to say like it's a foreshadowing of what is to come, I think that's fair because he does the same thing at the end. He does, you know, he gets the bomb. He does it for everybody else. He takes the hit. He'll do that again. You know, he'll go out there and he'll fly the plane and get and take the bomb and literally, I mean, not lay on it, but it's a giant warhead, but he plows it into Antarctica. Because, like, he just self-sacrificed. It is a key theme of Captain America. I think the best scene in the movie is when he gets turned into Captain America. It's such a good fucking scene. It's led up by a very good scene with the Doctor where he's, like, fucking drinking with him. And he's kind of getting funny and loose with him. And he seems like they're having a good time. And then Captain America is like just, and it just goes into the fucking machine. It's really cool. It's a good scene of like them transforming him. I like that scene a lot. I don't know why. I couldn't really point to an exact reason, but I just really like that scene.
That scene does have the worst Peggy moment. Is that her name?
Yeah. Why did she run out? Peggy Carter is her name.
This movie has the same problem with the war as in the romance. It's kind of, it's super cheesy. It's like, it's a Disney Channel movie romance.
Yep. Shit.
But at least I kind of like it here, because like, the lady actually has something to do, sort of. Like, she actually fits into the movie. Unlike in Thor, where whatever her name is just there, and the whole thing's pretty dumb.
Even Iron Man, I could say that. Like, as much as I think Iron Man's okay, like, I felt like the romance between Pepper and Tony is like, eh.
Yeah, I think their romance is definitely a couple steps ahead of the romances in the other movies. Because I think they did a pretty good building of that romance, unlike with these two.
That's true, yeah, I would agree.
It's like, no problem is with Peggy. I have his character is like, why is she? What is she there? Why do they have what? She's Adrian, but for who? Like, they don't really explain.
Like, yeah, they don't really give you a good like what? Who is she? Like what? Like she's a captain. She's supposed to be
running this. Like what? Who decided? Who was spearheading this project?
Like, it seems like the general was in charge, but then Peggy's there training also.
The general does literally everything. Like.
Makes all the decisions and stuff, and like, yeah.
From interrogation to joining the battle, because you know that's how that works.
And she's a British officer, like they explicitly say that, so it's weird that she's there in like an American training camp, and like, what's happening? I mean, she gains prominence later on from stuff. But it's super, like, early on, yeah, I agree with you, it's super weird. It just seemed like she was just there in a weird way.
I'm mostly fine with it, because I really like her as a character.
Yeah, she's, and the actress plays it really well.
Yes, her lipstick game is on point.
Extremely.
But yeah, it's, then afterwards, so we get the scene where the undercover Hydra kills the Doctor, tries to make an escape, but then gets voted by Captain America. And then we go into, because the Supercharger project is ruined, he's turned into a propaganda machine.
It's such a good scene, don't you think? Like, just, and I think it's something they do well in the movie, is like, take the comic booky stuff and make it into, like, you know, Captain America punches Adolf Hitler in the comics, and then to turn it into this, like, propaganda thing, I think that's really smart. Just to turn it into like this, he actually did, but it's actually just all propaganda stuff. It's, I don't know, it's cool. It's really cool in that, like, turning the punching Adolf Hitler into like a thing instead of like a, you know, it's cool. Because it was propaganda in its heyday too, of Captain America punching Adolf Hitler. Anyway.
It is kind of, you know, too coincidental that he is doing the thingy with the army that he always wanted to do, and with the one with the same general, the one Bucky's in, but it at least get an excuse for him to be near the battlefield, I guess, than emotionally going charging in to rescue, because the next scene is him rescuing hundreds of prisoners at a Hydra prison camp.
Yeah, like that. I always thought it was funny that like he's getting rave reviews or whatever from, you know, like, he's back in the States doing it, and people are like, oh, yeah, he's great. But then he goes over, and the Marines and stuff are very much like, like, they don't care. Like, they're just, like, they're not impressed with him or his thing. And then he goes, like, it's a good, like, nobody respects him, but then everybody respects him when he goes and saves the guys. So it's, I don't know, it's cool. I like that moment of, like, nobody respects him to everybody respects him. It's a good metamorphosis.
What?
What?
I don't think you know what that word means.
It's a good transformation. It's a good character moment. Because that's all you ever wanted to be, was like in the Marines doing stuff, or in the Army, and now he gets to do that. I don't know. Never mind. No. What the heck was that squad called? I'm looking up squad. Give me a second.
IST. Whatever. So yes, once he whatever you were talking about. So then we turn all like. We're switching gears into action mode, into war mode, where once Captain America proves he is actually good,
yep,
at killing or at punching. Does he actually kill anybody really with his punches with the shield?
I think he has a gun at one point. He shoots people. Like he's.
I mean, sure, but like most of the time, like he just punches people or like hits them with the shield. Do you think they die from that?
I mean, they probably hurt.
I'm sure.
I mean, Captain America kills people in the comics, so it's not like.
I mean, I'm not saying he doesn't kill them on a moral level. I mean, does he just kill them in general? Anyways. And then Red Mask. What's his name?
Red Skull.
He blows up the whole factory thingy for reasons.
Can't let the allies get it, I guess. Something burning, something, I don't know. Guess he doesn't want anyone else to figure out what he's doing, maybe. Don't want him to let them onto the plan. The evil, dastardly plan. There's a lot of those scenes with Red Skull leading up to that, and I can't remember any of them. Like, I feel like that, like you could almost cut all that stuff out, and then just, and move it into that, and move it all into, like, a more... I don't know. Up until this point, it hasn't really mattered, besides for finding a cosmic cube or whatever.
I mean, I'm fine with it. I'm fine with this because I think he's a good villain. Like, unlike mm-hmm. most, like in, like when they did it in fucking like, Iron Man 2. Like, I do not give any shits about this about the fucking villain guy. Wait, what's his name?
Oh God, Iron Man 2's villain. Iron Man 1 was Obadiah Shane. Iron Man 2 was Justin Hammer and Whiplash?
Oops, sure. Justin Hammer fucking sucks, so I did not want any scenes with him. Anyways, Red Skull is a pretty good menacing guy, so I don't mind the scenes with him.
Yeah, he's played very well, I think, in this movie. He's pretty great. Him getting... When Captain America punches him in the face and his face is coming off a little bit, oh, that's really good.
Yeah, I really... We're kind of one around, but I really like the scene with the prison camp. Like, I think that's probably the best action scene.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then, and just at the very end, like the shots, like when the building was blown up, it's a really good moment. Like with the hero and the villain facing off.
And they're across this bridge, and they're both on two sides, and it's like this. Oh, it's so good.
A lot of symbolic shit, or something.
Yeah, I think they do a good job in that in the scene of like making you believe, like he bounces the shield around and stuff, and making you believe like, oh, he can actually bounce the shield around, and he's like, and they kind of do it in the scene after his transformation when he's chasing the Hydra agent, and they make you feel like this dude is huge. This dude is like. Like, even though he's just kind of probably, like, normal, like, he's just, like, a normal-sized dude, like, they do a good job of making him feel like he's, like, super-powered and, like, you know, like, massive dude. Like, they do a lot of good physical acting with him, which I think is really good in all the fight scenes and stuff, making you feel like he punches somebody 5 feet away or something like that. It's good. He's like fucking Kratos. He's punching dudes and ripping heads and feeling good. He's doing good. He's cool.
So now we get a bunch of montages of Captain America leading victories against the Hydra, and then...
With the Howling Commandos, too, which is a thing from the comics.
Yeah, which is something that I wish they explained more, because what the fuck are these random people they rescued, like, now, like, hanging out with the American army? Well, shouldn't they go back to their country's respective
army? Yeah, you would think they would head back to their countries, yeah. But then, I guess he had mentioned it in general, like, I want to put together a unit and let's go do some work. So I guess, I don't know, I guess he argued with those countries and said, hey, give me these guys back. I mean, I don't know. He did save a bunch of people, so I guess he has some clout now, so he could probably...
Sure. So then we have the scene with the train, withholds the lead scientist guy, Phrydra, where...
Who's an important character, but I can't remember his freaking name now. Not Smit. Smit is Red Skull. Johann Schmidt. One second. It's Heinz Kruger? Is that it? No. Dr. Armin Zola. That guy from the comics, yes. Adam Zola. Armin Zola. He's on the train. He's running away from Captain America at full speed.
And the big thing happens where Captain America's buddy,
Bucky
dies. And that did not do that very well at all. And it's problematic for the biggest showcase of what the biggest problem with the second half of the movie, where I think it's not paced well at all. Like, the pacing is pretty poorly done.
Yeah, like, you almost would want them to spend a little bit more time. Like, maybe do one... I know it'd be getting way too long, but maybe do one more kind of mission to let Captain America and Bucky and kind of the Howling Commandos actually interact outside of that one bar scene. Just to kind of get you, like... establish that relationship just a little bit more. Of, like, well, Bucky is... I mean, he's his friend, but, like, you haven't really seen him interact that much. Besides for, like, oh, they're good friends. That's all I guess you know, but... It's like a little bit more would be cool.
And then it just kind of felt under. Felt cheap. It's kind of confusing. I don't know. It wasn't a definitive end to him, which I guess that makes sense because spoilers, he comes back in the next Captain America movie.
Apparently. Spoilers.
So I guess they don't can't have him get shot in the face, but it makes it so his ending is kind of just like. It's not very emotional whatsoever.
No, yeah, it made you feel like, oh, he fell off this thing into this weird green screen thing, and, it didn't really feel like, oh, he's dead. It just felt like, oh, he's falling into this green screen. It wasn't really a great moment of, like, I don't know, feeling like, oh, he's dead. I totally agree with you.
Sorry, I got distracted. So, after that, we have him being sad, and then him and Mrs. Peggy and them getting all close and whatnot. And then they plan their final raid into the Hydra compound and attack the Hydra compound.
Yeah, they attack the Hydra.
Because they learn that Hydra's going to be attacking America with nukes or whatever.
They're going to be attacking, as Adam Zola says, when he's getting, like... I don't know, inducted into, like, because he didn't kill himself like all the other Hydra agents did, so they're questioning him, and he's like, attack everywhere, that's the plan, we gotta attack everywhere. And then, because he's even gonna attack Berlin, because they're subverting the Nazi cause now, they're doing their own thing, Hydra's gone rogue. Gotta take care of everything, gotta nuke every country.
Because, like, yeah, man, I wish Hydra, I don't know, I wish he...
You wish Hydra was a little bit more built out, maybe?
I wish he was, I don't know, threatening. Or at least, like... Because what is his plans of the world domination? And using this Cubist sound to build lasers? Like,
I think they play a little bit with the idea of, you know, the Nazi Aryan stuff. The Red Skull mentions at one point, like, oh, Hitler's become enthralled with that, the Aryan idea, but at the same time, I think Red Skull's kind of around the same idea, but more with, like, super-powered people are going to take over the world, and so, I should rule the world because I'm a superpower person. Like it's like he thinks of himself as the better man, the more that the next evolution of humanity, almost like a Magneto kind of thing. But they don't really build it out much. Like, what is he doing? Why is he doing it? Even though I really like him as a villain, I really wish they had spent a little bit more time on, like, hey, what's going on with, why are you doing this? What purpose do you have for, I don't know, trying to take over the world? Are you just trying to be evil, or what?
He's red, so you know. He has to be evil.
That's true. You can't have, you know, if he was a blue skull, then maybe he'd be a good guy. Who knows?
That's sexist.
Wow.
So, did the attack on the compound where, I wish I liked the scene more, honestly. I don't know.
They do it, yeah, the attack on the compound scene, I barely remember it, honestly. It felt like, oh yeah, he's attacking the compound, but like, I don't remember any of that, really.
Yeah, except to the point, I don't find the Hydra threatening whatsoever. Cause, like, they're being taken up by Captain America and his posse so easily that it's like, eh. You know, they have lasers weapons. So yeah, then Captain America, after their successful raid, Captain America boards the awesome looking ship that's planning on bombing America. Gets to Red Skull, then Red Skull goes suicidal, picks up the cube thingy and kills himself, I guess.
I guess, but it's also, so a little spoiler for you, that's the space cube, so it makes more sense that he got teleported somewhere, so maybe someday we'll see Red Skull again? What do you think of that? You want to see Red Skull again? I think he's out there somewhere, I guess. Because it looks like it opens a portal to space. He's out there somewhere. Space. What I'm saying is space Nazis is going to happen at some point. Just prepare yourself for space Nazis. That's all I'm saying.
So yeah, Red Skull dies, and then Captain America has to sacrifice himself to crash in his plane so that it doesn't nuke somebody.
Yeah, he crashes into the Antarctic, and then you flash, like, it's like a moment of, like, so the very first opening scene of the movie is them in Antarctica finding that plane. Like a research team finding the plane in Antarctica after some global warming stuff. And inside of the plane, they find Captain America frozen alive. But he's still alive, Popcans. He's still alive.
Honestly, the scene with him in the modern world is probably my favorite scene. Probably, like, one of my favorite scenes. Favorite scene? Second favorite scene? I think this is so cool. Like, them trying to trick him, and then he certainly realizes what's up.
Yeah, the baseball thing was so good. Oh, man. I was such smart writing that he would know that the baseball game had already happened. Oh, that was good. That the baseball game happened, it's like, that's really good. And then he, like, fucking busts out of this little cube they're trying to keep him in. And fucking Nick Fury shows up, and he's like, yo, dog, you're in New York City, man. You've been asleep for a while. What's up? You're freaking out.
He's like, hi.
Hi, I'm Nick Fury. I don't know why I wasn't nearer to you when you woke up, but how you doing? And it also, like, establishes that Captain America's out. Like, he's people know because he stood in the middle of fucking New York City. He stood in Times Square. Like, people now know Captain America's alive again. Which is cool.
And then we have the post-teaser, which is actually pretty lame. This is Captain America boxing, punching a punching bag, and then a teaser for Avengers.
The Avengers, coming next fall, or several years ago.
It's fall.
Trying to get you back out in the world, trying to save you. It's a scene. It's okay, I guess, but boy. So overall, what do you think of the movie? Like, what's your final thoughts? Like, what's your thinking overall? Positive? Negative? I know we mentioned several kind of negative things about it. What do you think?
So I think this movie is fucking fantastic. I really like
this great.
It's really good movie. Like, all the other movies, I think they are fine, and I think for most people, they will say all the Marvel movies have been fine, or there has not been a bad Marvel movie, but it's like, The other Marvel movies so far, I'm not going to have an emotional attachment whatsoever to them, but I really like this movie. And while the pacing may be pretty off in the second half, and they may have bunked some characters, I think overall, I think they did a great job with building Captain America and just telling the little war story and encapsulating it, and just, yeah, I think they did a great job overall with the movie they have.
Yeah, I think it's like, you know, the thing that impresses me so much is taking all that, like, they build in the comic book history into the movie so much. They, you know, they show the punching Adolf Hitler thing, they show, you know, they got the Howling Commandos, they got a lot of raids and stuff like that that they actually did, and it's like, they build all those adventures and all those stories into canon in a way that, that's just incredible, and I think they just do such a good job of building Steve Rogers as a character. They make you care about Captain America.
Also, the dude who was in it, Stan Lee, he was in it.
He was in there. He stood. Yeah, he was in the. He was in the military corps.
Was it supposed to be the thing we were supposed to do?
He was. What? Yeah. So, like, what's the story of Stan Lee in this? Like, he was a World War II guy, and then he's forward in time, and he's drinking Hulk juice, and then he's at Tony Stark's premiere. Like, what's this character?
Okay. So, how will we rank this movie?
How will we rank this one? So
what's our current ranking?
Current ranking, number one, Iron Man. Number two, Iron Man 2. Number three, Thor. And number four, Incredible Hulk. I think it's better than Thor and Hulk.
No. Is it Hulk last? I'm pretty sure Hulk is last.
Hulk is last, yeah.
Okay.
Thor is three, Hulk is four.
I'm tired.
That's fine. So I think it's better than Thor and Hulk. I think it's better than Iron Man 2.
Yeah.
Do you think it's better than Iron Man 1?
I definitely think it's better than Iron Man 1.
You know, I'd agree with you.
The villain's better than the villain is better than Captain America than Iron Man 1.
And I feel like the second part of Iron Man really lets it down, whereas I feel like they're on pace with each other for like the first half when Tony's in the cave and stuff, like that's really good. But Captain America, that's a better movie. I think it's a better one, yeah. Yeah, I'll agree with you on that one. Captain America takes the number one spot. Captain America, the First Avenger, number one. Number two, Iron Man. Number three, Iron Man 2. Number four, Thor. Number five, The Incredible Hulk.
And he's going to be staying there for a while, I bet. Until Captain America 2. If I had to guess. I don't know what your feelings are on Avengers, so we'll see. But...
Boy, I got some feelings on it. That might, I don't know, it's going to be close. I don't know, it might bump Captain America down. I don't know. We'll see. I guess. Thank you so much for joining me, Pop. Sean.
See, you were supposed to say Sean throughout the whole thing, but then you just...
I messed up at the end, yeah. Shit. I'm too used to calling Pop. I should start calling you Sean from now on.
That's fine. You probably shouldn't.
Well, all right. Okay. So next movie is The Avengers. Both in terms of what we're watching, and since this week is right before Infinity War, which is releasing today, later today, a lot of Avengering is going to be happening this weekend. Let me tell you what. So look forward to that stuff, guys. Hope everybody enjoys the Infinity War if you're going to go watch that. I've been Albie. This has been Sean.
No, you can't.
Pop cans.
Switch it around.
And thank you for joining us for the Marvel Movie Showdown podcast. What's Captain America? The red, white, and blue. Do 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 do. Captain America throws a shield a lot in this movie, and that's like fucking really good. And bounces back to him. Holy shit, dude! But really, is Red Skull still alive? Is he out there somewhere? What the fuck happened to Red Skull?